With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, let's do the fight song round.
This is my fight song. Take back my life.
Ah, who we starting with? That's your Alabama fight song, ladies and gentlemen. The good news is they're off this week. The rest of the football, it's a fair fight now for everybody else in college football. Scored on the first drive once again. Touchdown on the first drive. This time it took them 4 minutes and 2 seconds. That's the most ever. So shout out to Tennessee, the Vols. It was 58-21. Could have been much worse than that. That win streak now, Alabama over Tennessee, is 12 games. 12 games. Tua was magnificent again. 4 touchdowns, 360 yards. Some just stunning passes. It's just unbelievably good. Here we are. They won't play again until November, right?
Correct.
He has not thrown an interception.
Okay.
He has not thrown a pass in the fourth quarter. He has 25 touchdowns and 45 incompletions.
Mm-hmm.
No picks.
Yes.
I don't recall ever. I mean, there's been a lot of, like, everyone knew Johnny Manziel was going to win the Heisman and whatever. I don't recall anything like this. This is like, the distance between one and two is just insane.
No, I mean, he still hadn't played in the fourth quarter.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's like, it's just insane.
But the couple interesting things about this game from the Tennessee perspective. One is Butch.
Yes.
Butch Jones, an analyst for Alabama,
Is
seen all over television and whatever, all over social media.
Got a Gatorade bath.
Gets a Gatorade bath and then is smoking the victory with a big ol' S-eating grin. Smoking the victory cigar.
Yep.
Don't you think that's a ridiculous look? He built what was across the field. He just watched.
That's his team.
His team.
Yes.
Get its ass kicked.
Yes.
And he's smoking a cigar?
But his Tennessee teams never got beat, never gave up 58 points to Tennessee.
Well, that's fine. It's his damn team, and he should not have been. He should have been.
Coaches are not self-aware.
He should have been out of the picture.
I completely agree.
Out of self-respect.
Now, in
not
fairness,
out of respect for Tennessee. Out of self-respect, he should have remained. He's not a smart man.
No, at all.
He's just not a smart man.
No. In fairness to him, I don't know what you're supposed to do. You know that everyone's going to take pictures of you. Like, you're on the sideline. Like, you know everything you do.
Just don't be good. Don't be reveling in it. Just don't revel. Just be neutral. Watch it. Be neutral. Don't revel in it. Honestly, you're reveling in the players all you recruited getting humiliated. What's even that perspective? What is good about that? It's just a horrible look.
Nothing. Also, shout out to all the Tennessee fans last week that somewhat jokingly, somewhat seriously said they didn't want to play Jarrett Garantano against Alabama because they knew the game was a loss no matter what, and they knew that he matters more down the stretch.
Yep.
Turns out that might not have been a bad
Chris
idea.
Chris wasn't bad.
He wasn't bad, no. I'll give you that.
He wasn't bad.
He was able to hit outside passes. That it's by far the best he's looked in a Tennessee uniform.
Yeah.
And honestly, as someone who watched a lot of him in Stanford, it's maybe the best I've ever seen him look.
So the other interesting thing to me was Jeremy Pruitt afterwards, and I tweeted out the partial quote when I saw the partial quote, but then I think the full quote, the partial quote was this, and this was the columnist in Tuscaloosa.
Cecil Hurt?
Yeah, Cecil Hurt tweeted it out. It's hard not to look at their sidelines and look at our signs. It don't hardly look the same. That's what he tweeted out, and I'm like, okay, that's true, but that's kind of a crappy thing for a coach to say about his team, I thought. Like, I did think that was a little throwing your team under the bus. But then later on, the full quote, I think is much gentler, is much more, is what it's this. It's, we have a good core group of guys that want to do it the right way. But it's hard not to look at their sideline and look at our sideline and don't hardly look the same. We ain't got enough guys out there today that want to do it the right way. That to me is in context a little less. First of all, you like the fire. Like you like the fire. And it's also true. It does have the advantage of being truth. But I think the fact that he says we have a good core group absolves. I was not bothered by that quote in the end. I was bothered a little bit by initially when I saw just the snippet. But when the full quote, I thought was fine. What'd you think?
Yeah, I'm completely fine. Like, you can, if you lose context when what coaches say, a lot of times they don't really think before they say anything, so right. They can sound a lot worse. I have zero problem with that.
And they don't. I mean, well, of course, no one looks the same.
I was about to say,
nobody looks
like
Alabama.
Guess LSU?
Right.
Physically?
Well, so there you have it. That was Alabama and Tennessee. Who's next? Don't believe we have ever played this one before.
I did have to get it this morning, so I presume that we did not.
This is the Purdue fight song. Boiler up, baby. 49-20 over Ohio State. Ohio State, when they lose under Urban Meyer, man, do they lose. Last year, 55-24 to Iowa. It was
a delight.
A delight. It was, let's be honest, it was a total delight. Hey, the Purdue fans were having such a great time, and you like them. And then they had the Tyler.
Yep.
Who has,
Greg Doyle wrote a great column if you didn't get to read that yet.
Yeah. Tyler is, he's a teenager who's in hospice at this point and was there on the sidelines and has been sort of adopted as a honorary member of that team. And what he went through to even be there. It was wonderful to then watch his Purdue team really just destroy Ohio State. And a total delight to watch it unfold. It was not, it was Rondale Moore just going crazy. 12 catches, 170 yards, 2 touchdowns. And then Ohio State, like, I understand that Haskins is a good quarterback, and I think he is a good quarterback. He threw it 73 times.
Yeah. I mean, that's – anytime you typically see a quarterback throw it 73 times, I'm willing to bet 80% of the time that team lost.
And they broke their record for pass attempts, which isn't surprising, by 21 passes.
Yes.
And they ran the ball. Ohio State, the Ohio State University – home of Archie Griffin.
Yes.
20 times for 69 yards.
Nice.
Against Purdue.
Yeah.
A Purdue team that lost to Missouri.
A Purdue team that lost to Eastern Michigan.
A Purdue team that lost 3 games in the very start, and then, of course, lost to Northwestern.
Who could forget?
It is the third largest win by an unranked opponent over an AP top two team ever.
Can you say that one more time?
It is the third largest win by an unranked team over an AP top two team ever.
One last time.
It is the third largest win by an unranked team over an AP top two team ever. Now, here's the question.
That feels great.
We saw Ohio State. There are people who say, listen, this was great fun. But The committee will forgive anything with Ohio State. Last year it was 55-24 loss to Iowa. Can Ohio State overcome this and get in the playoff?
I don't think so. They didn't forgive that loss last year. Ohio State didn't get in.
That's why Alabama got in.
They didn't forgive that loss.
No, you're right. So you think they're done?
Here's why I think they're done. I think
they can still win the Big Ten.
Sure.
Very clearly.
But here's why I think they're done. At the end of the day,
Alabama, Clemson, boom, boom.
At the end of the day, it is very much an eye test sport.
Yep.
And the eye test is part of it. And you just, like, that doesn't, the reason
who's
why.
Who's for?
Right now?
Assuming Clemson, assuming Alabama, assuming Clemson, Alabama, Notre Dame.
I think it'll be LSU right now. I don't think they're the fourth team, but I think they're going to rank fourth.
Who do they got left besides Alabama?
A&M, pretty much.
You think they would get in? They won't get. They'll get. Some of this depends on what happens against Alabama,
for sure.
Like, and I'll tell you what else matters. Alabama, and of course,
does someone in the Big 12 finish with only one loss? Because Oklahoma is starting to do that thing where they got their loss out of the way early, and now they are looking better and better by the week. Not that TCU's any good, but still, they're looking better and better by the week. And then you still have what's really interesting is I think the Pac-12 this weekend played themselves out of it yet again. Shout out to the fine people on the West Coast.
The only team with one loss now is Washington State,
who have my favorite coach of all time. Right. And it was an honor and a privilege to bet on him last weekend.
You wondered if Clay Helton's going to lose his gig, too, honestly, losing to Utah. Anyway, so you think LSU.
I think that's if they were to rank them.
Let's say they get smashed by Alabama. And Devin White, of course, controversial targeting call, is going to have to miss the first half against Alabama. They get smashed by Alabama. They're not that impressed.
I'm just saying, if they're ranking, I think the first rankings come out next Tuesday, if I'm correct on that.
I don't mean now. I mean at the end of the year, Ohio State goes on to beat Michigan, goes on to win the Ohio State's going to finish ahead of LSU. I'm telling you.
I agree with that. I think it's either going to be whoever wins the Big Ten or.
That's what I'm saying. It'll still be Ohio State.
Yeah.
Because the Pac-12 is taking themselves out of it, and Oklahoma?
What if Texas runs the table? Texas would have won 11 straight or 12 straight games because they would have had to win the Big 12 title.
Anyway. Okay, who's next? Congratulations to Purdue. That was a lot.
We are
of
all
fun.
Purdue.
That
weekend.
Was so
yes.
much fun. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. The best fight song in all of the land.
Second best.
There is a Notre Dame fan out there who listens, and I apologize to her every time I say this, but Jeffrey takes up for you every time I say that. So, Michigan responded. Beat an AP-ranked opponent on the road for the first time. This is incredible. Since they had not had a road win over a ranked team since 2006.
Wow.
Isn't that incredible? 17 straight losses against ranked teams on the road.
It seems not great.
That's horrible. And, of course, they had been 3-8 in their last 11 against Michigan State. But there was the fracas before the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the game, there was this great back and forth between Harbaugh and D'Antonio. And Harbaugh was right on this one. Harbaugh said that that it was Bush League and that D'Antonio was walking behind the Michigan State players with a smiling. And D'Antonio said, that's BS. But if you look at the video, you know what he was doing? Walking behind the players smiling.
Yeah.
So, yes. Harbaugh was absolutely right on that one. I mean, it was just typical testosterone-laden whatever, like nonsense. But that Michigan defense is for real, allowing 94 total yards to Michigan State, the fewest yards that Michigan State has.
I knew Michigan was okay when Michigan State got the big turnover inside the 10.
Yeah.
And to score, and I give them credit, they did score.
Yep.
But to score, they had to run the trick play.
Yep.
And I'm also sick of this. Every time you throw it back to the quarterback with a wide receiver, it's not the Philly special. Like, they were not the first team to throw it back to the quarterback. Like, it's driving me insane. It was like, Philly, 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 Philly. It's like, I can't watch football right now if you say that.
So, yeah, that tied it up at 7. All of Michigan goes on to win 21-7. Michigan State 0 of 12 on third down conversions.
Is that good?
Quarterback 5 of 25 for 66 yards.
Yeah, he's not good. Not good at football.
Not good at football. But and Michigan has now won 7 straight. And the loss to Notre Dame looks okay. Like, that's a pretty close loss on the road. That's not a bad loss.
And it was week one.
So, now I still think, I'm the more you watch Shea Patterson, I'm convinced he's not that good.
No, but he is. I will give Harbaugh credit.
He's using him correctly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Harbaugh's not sitting there going, all right, let's empty it out, and buddy, it's all on you.
Right.
No.
He's not. I mean,
no, he's not.
Shea has thrown it 184 times this year. It's not a lot.
Right. Haskins threw it 184 times himself.
Exactly.
Just this past
just
Saturday.
Just on Saturday.
Right. Exactly right.
Don't look that up. Just understand
okay.
It's true.
Right. Yeah. Who's next? This is the Clemson Tigers fight song, I do believe.
Correct.
It's supposed to be anyway. Looking like clearly the number two team. Like, it looks like there's one awesome team and one very good team, right? And then a cluster. Clemson 41-17 over NC State. An undefeated NC State team. Number 16 undefeated NC State.
Let's try this again.
Let's try that again. I was going to say it sounded deeply suspicious to me. It sounded more LSU-ish.
Well, it's a computer problem, but
okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
just look at all this parity in college football. We're headed towards Clemson, Alabama
again,
round four.
But do people object?
No, because I think they're the two best teams.
I don't think people object. I think they like Alabama, Clemson.
And now that Trevor Lawrence is playing and Trevor Lawrence looks really good,
26 of 39, 308 yards,
touchdown. Kind of talk yourself into it a little
bit. You can kind of talk yourself into a little bit. Well, the other thing is Clemson has a hell of a defense. That's
yes.
The other thing. They have a hell of a defense. And Trevor Lawrence is playing, getting better. 12 different players caught passes. They had 10 tackles for loss. They allowed NC State. Again, NC State was undefeated. Allowed them only 3.3 yards a carry. And then the great move. Last year, Dave Doran, coach of NC State, complained because Clemson had a laptop on the sidelines. Do you remember that?
Yes.
So this time, they made a laptop, those cards that you hold up in the air, they made one of those cards be a laptop. That's trolling, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. But I respect it.
What if it comes... Well, and honestly, it's an NC State team that they struggle with each of the last 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
And this year, there was no struggle whatsoever. This year, they pounded them.
No.
41-17. So it's Alabama and Clemson. It's Alabama. Up here, and then a big drop off.
Yeah,
then Clemson.
Yep,
then significant drop off.
Yeah,
I think, and then
it's almost like the teams that have had the two best recruiting classes for the last 5 years are almost better than ever.
You might, if you're going to be, you might think there might be some connection there,
just a little bit.
Okay. So normally we honor five teams and we disparage two. We could have played Washington State's fight song, right?
Sure.
We could have played and
in fact, I advocated for
it. In fact, you advocated for it. It's in the West Coast. Most people are asleep.
Yeah. Fair.
UAB, we could have played UAB's fight song. They are 6-1, beating North Texas. They trailed North Texas 21-10 at halftime, scored 19 unanswered points. Kind of fun, UAB story there. 14-6 since the revival of that team. And it is the five-game winning streak. It's the longest in school history. So good for UAB. We could have played Nebraska. They got a win.
Mm-hmm. First
win ever for
Scott
for,
Frost as the Frost. Nebraska head coach.
So that was good. I mean, that was fun for them, right? FSU actually started to look a little credible
as
they beat Wake 38-17. Duke is emerging. Not Duke. I mean, Virginia is emerging with the win over Duke as maybe the team that will play Clemson.
That seems to be the most likely at this point.
It seems to be most likely. LSU, obviously, as you point out, with another win. But we've decided instead to disparage two teams. Mm-hmm. One of them is your Memphis Tigers. Pains me to do it, but it was not a good effort at Missouri. Things go really badly right from the start as they punted into their own player, get up early, pick six.
At one point,
they go
I
down
think,
21-0.
Yeah, weren't they down 21-0?
They go down 21-0, then they come back, and it's 21-17.
Right.
And you're thinking, okay, this is, I tweeted out something about their resilience. That was very impressive to come back and make it 21-17. But then these fourth downs are really a problem. Odom goes for it on 4th-and-1 from his own 34. And that play was not the killer, they did convert. And the next play, 50-yard touchdown pass to the big tight end. We'll call him Albert O.
Okay.
Who was murdered him all night, all day. And then Brady White comes out and underthrows a pass, and it's picked off. And then immediately a 44-yard touchdown pass to Jalen Knox. And so that was that. And it was, they gave up 65 points. It was 65 to 33, but it could have easily been 80. Odom took the foot off the gas in the fourth quarter, and Locke came out in the fourth quarter. He didn't play in the fourth quarter. And so that was that. And you have several concerns. One is Darrell Henderson got hurt.
Yeah, that was a huge concern.
So now you got a bye week, so that's good. But in and you know, it was looked like it was it didn't look like it was the kind of injury that might look like it was the injury they might be back from a 2 weeks.
Sure.
Who knows? But it did not if he was playing this week, who knows? But 2 weeks, you would think he would have time to heal. So that was a concern. Second concern, it was Brady White who's been up and down this year. In halves, he's been up and down. Second half against Tulane was awful. Wasn't great in the end, obviously, against Navy. He was 15 of 37 for 208 yards, two touchdowns, and those two picks. So it was easily his worst game. He was under ridiculous pressure all night. But it was like that pass was picked off was just underthrown, and the first one probably shouldn't have been thrown. So he wasn't good. And then the defense just gets savaged routinely. The last time they had a good defense was the year of the Miami Beach Bowl.
Yep.
And so, you know, they just outscore people. That's what they do. And if so if the offense isn't perfect, then they're not outscoring people. And the defense is just getting absolutely gashed, 646 yards here, and did not force a turnover. And so there's no shame in losing to an SEC team on the road. Like, done. Zero, right? But my view is this. Now they're 4-4. Disappointing season? Absolutely a disappointing season. Can't say anything other than that. I think what happens next matters. Because I think the team is in a place where it hasn't been in a while, which is, listen, Memphis football has been special and fun and great for the last bunch of years. And I think what happens next will determine whether this team is disappointing year or, oh my gosh, is this over kind of year? Like, is this fun over kind of year, right? And now they've got East Carolina, Tulsa, and SMU Houston. Those are two bad teams. East Carolina's 2-5. Tulsa is not good. They got shut out by Arkansas somehow.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's pretty hard to do that.
Mm-hmm.
At SMU is a little better. And then Houston. You should win three of those four games, in which case you're 7-5.
Correct.
7-5 is disappointing, particularly when you then will realize that the wins are over Mercer, Georgia State, South Alabama, UConn, let's say East Carolina, Tulsa, and SMU.
Okay.
There's not an impressive win in that bunch.
No, you're favored in every one of those games.
And they're pretty much bad teams. Let's not forget that you used to be the bad team.
Yes.
like
you used to be one of those teams.
You used to be one of those teams.
Right.
So it's easy to say they're bad teams. You used to be that team, the bad team. So I think 7-5, yeah, I'm disappointed. Things got, jury's out on Brady White. What the heck do you do about that? Is it possible to have a stout defense at Memphis when you run this kind of offense?
No.
You think it's not possible?
Nope. Because the defense is on the field too much. Part of the reason this is, I haven't seen anyone say this yet. So you know how everyone talks about, oh, Alabama's defense isn't that great this year. They're good, but they're not great.
They're on the field more.
Holy cow, a lot more. It's what happens when you're on the field more. When your offense scores really quickly, it's the biggest problem that another team we're about to talk about has.
Right. So you think it's impossible. And so what normally then you count on the defense to, A, bend not break, and B, be opportunistic and get turnovers. Right?
Exactly.
Because you can't keep – you can't.
That's my deal. If you're going to have this type of offense, I don't think teams – I think if you're going to have this type of offense, you're better off having the aggressive take chances type defense.
to force turnovers.
Exactly. You're gonna be on the field no matter what.
And then if you're giving up points, at least you're giving them quickly, so you're not
exactly
getting exhausted.
So you can get your and get your team back on the field. But that's how you're going to win those types of games.
And you're not gonna get. Let's be honest, at Memphis, you're not gonna get monstrous stud defensive ends, right? Like you're just not.
You're probably not getting massive game breaking.
You're not
gonna
get
linemen.
The defensive lineman that you get it, and so you it's hard anyway to recruit that kind of massive.
So you're better off trying to have a defense that creates pressure and havoc and that forces turnovers. You're going to give up big plays, sure, fine, whatever. Get your offense back on the field.
But my view is if you go 3-1 and lose at Houston, like lose to Houston, which you'd have to predict at this point. Houston's good. Memphis isn't right now. Look, but that's a home game. You could win that one.
Sure.
But let's say you go 3-1. That's 7-5. If you go 1-3, I think it changes the context of the whole season.
I completely agree.
So what happens next? Someone said to me yesterday they let go
look for another quarterback.
Someone said yesterday they let go of the rope. I don't think necessarily they let go of the rope against Missouri, but I think they can't let go of the rope. I think that can't happen. And they have to come back, and they have to go 3-1 at least down the stretch. And then it's 7-5, and then it's a disappointment.
Yes.
But if it's a disappointment and Memphis is 7-5 in a bowl game, that's not the end of the world. The end of the world is if they go 1-3. And then they don't make a bowl or anything else. Like, so what happens next matters. People are just like, okay, we're tuning out. We're just going to pay attention to Memphis basketball. And that's fine. But what happens next really does matter.
Completely agree.
All right. And then our last one. Ole Miss Rebels, and you know, we haven't talked a lot about Mississippi State. They weren't really good either.
No, they only
absolutely
scored 3 points.
Smothered by LSU. Boy, he can't throw the ball.
At all.
At all.
Who told you that first?
He cannot throw the ball. Just.
That's why Dan Mullen is unbelievable.
The idea that Dan Mullen did what he did.
Yes.
People literally were talking about him as a Heisman candidate coming into this year because of Dan Mullen.
Yes. My favorite is go look at all of Mississippi State's, like, go look at, like, all of their offensive, like, best productions. It's funny how there's one common thread in that. They've never had a good quarterback, yet Dan Mullen found a way to produce and score points with all.
Well, Dak was good.
Sure. Chris Relf wasn't.
No, but Dak
Tyler
was good.
Russell wasn't. Tyson Lee wasn't. He won 9 games with those guys.
That's incredible. Ole Miss loses 31-16, and listen, we understand that the Ole Miss defense isn't supposed to be good, right?
Yeah.
But their offense is supposed to be explosive, right?
Yeah.
What happened to that?
19 points per game in SEC play. In their 3 games against non-major college or non-major conference teams, they've scored 184 points, Jeff. That's 61 points per game. In the 5 games against Power 5 schools, 123. That's less than 24 points per game. That offense tears up inferior teams because it asks for a quarterback to stand in the pocket and there's no progression. It just has receivers, quote, chase space and find open space. Well, that works great when you're better than the other team. But when you have anyone that can remotely rush the passer, it doesn't work. There's no progression. There's no design. There's no routes that are designed to get other receivers open down the field. Everything is just, it's backyard football. It doesn't work.
So Gus isn't getting fired now?
Oh, he's.
Still wasn't inspiring. The fact that he didn't run the ball more, like in the like that. They
should have
him.
Had well over 40-something points. Yeah. Like, it was unbelievable to watch when they were just running it for
when
6 yards
and
pop.
Literally, they averaged 5.8
yards
doing it
the first
carry,
half.
And Winslow was like 9 yards a carry.
Yeah, it was unbelievable to watch.
And yet, he's got to be so smart to do.
Exactly. He's got to be the smartest man in the room.
Anyway, there wraps up your fight song roundup for the week.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.